zona sinistra, il lancio perfetto per Politano che entra in area di rigore, serie di finte, indietro per Fabian Ruiz, si porta verso il centro, il tiro, gol! Gol, 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 gol! Incredibile Fabian Ruiz, non si era visto in campo, abbiamo visto il suo sinistro, un gran gol, un golazzo dal limite! Fabian Ruiz porta in vantaggio il Napoli al 38esimo minuto di gioco, 0-0, Napoli 1. Agni di reparto, ora chiama la palla, si scontra con Buxa, la porta è vuota, il gol segna Pandev. Incredibile Meret che colpisce il pallone e si scontra con un avversario, non riesce a parare, devia la palla, la porta è vuota e Pandev va a segnare, protestano i giocatori del Napoli. Con grande attenzione Di Bello, è un po' pensieroso, vediamo cosa decide, e c'è il gol. No, rimessa dal fondo, non ha dato il gol. Ora protestano quelli del Genova, ha detto rimessa dal fondo, è stato interpretato male in un primo momento il gesto dell'arbitro e quindi quelli del Genova sono rimasti un attimo interdetti, poi hanno capito che era stato annullato il gol e ora c'è Criscito che va dall'altro lato, attenzione, il tiro, il gol, segna Cambiaso, pallonetto dall'altro lato, Di Lorenzo non ci arriva bene e Cambiaso batte Meret che ha deviato il pallone in rete. Vedevamo un Genova sicuramente molto più cattivo dal punto di vista dell'agonismo, una squadra molto più offensiva. Un ass leggermente fuori dall'area di rigore, parte il cross di testa, gol! Petagna! 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 Petagna di testa! Va a segnare il gol e va sotto la curva dei napoletani e va a esultare! Petagna! Petagna segna il gol del 2-1, un gol di rapina, se l'aspettavano, alta! Alta la palla, invece era lì a mezza altezza e lui da uomo d'aria! Da rapinatore segna il gol, Petagna 2-1, regala un gol fondamentale e riceve ora l'abbraccio di tutti i suoi compagni, anche il capitano Insigne va ad abbracciare Petagna che ora riceve il 5 da Spalletti, l'abbraccio anche con l'allenatore, chissà, andrà via, rimarrà, certo è che Petagna ha dimostrato che in aria lui si fa. Siamo ormai oltre i 6 minuti di recupero, l'arbitro evidentemente sta tenendo conto anche delle sostituzioni con Insigne che sta per recuperare il pallone, non ci riesce, poi l'arbitro fischia la fine, Petagna con quel gol e con quel gol regala 3 punti al Napoli.
From Vesuvius Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rafa Rispo. Welcome to the Far From Vesuvius Network. That, my friends, you heard was Carmine Martino's commentary of the Genoa-Napoli match from 2 weeks ago. Napoli winning 2-1 at the Marassi. We've covered it on the Raf and Raf rant. You can find that in the archives at Far From Vesuvius Network of Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, or you can visit the Raf and Raf rant on YouTube and watch the show back. But we did a good amount of coverage on it, so I won't touch on that too much today. It has been a week and a half. There's been a lot of things going on. And to talk about Napoli-Juventus, which is coming up this weekend, Saturday at 12 noon Eastern, I brought in, for frenemies this week, a pretty good friend of mine. We talk a lot on Twitter. We've never talked face-to-face or voice-to-voice before. This is the first appearance that he'll have with me. I've never been on another show with this guy, so, and I've always admired him, and he's a good person. He's one of my favorite people. Never mind Juventini, never mind Calcio personality. He's one of my favorite people. He's such a good guy. You know, yes, you might all kill me for saying that about another Juventino, but I'll tell you what, he's a top-notch dude for real. His name is Daniel Donato Grossi. He comes in for our frenemies Juventus edition. We have to talk about Ronaldo leaving Juventus. We have to talk about a lot of things going on there. Juventus reported a loss double the size of last season. You know, the restructuring, the bringing in of Allegri, the transfers they made. We're going to discuss all of that with Grossi. That's coming up in a little bit, but first I wanted to bring in a gentleman by the name of Sam Cole. Sam Cole works for Fulham Focus. He's a writer for Fulham Focus. And we talk all things Franck-André Zambo-Anguissa. He comes in from England, and we chat about Anguissa. We chat about what he can bring to Napoli. He's a Fulham fan, so he's been watching him, in and out. So there's nobody better to talk to about what Anguissa can bring for us than a fan of Fulham, somebody who writes, somebody who works, and somebody who is passionate about Fulham. So Sam Cole will join me in just a couple of minutes. We actually had our interview last week, but I kind of wanted to wait to drop it until the day Anguissa joins Napoli, which, you know, he signed on the last day of the transfer market, but today was his official first day at the training facility, at the Konami training facility. We've seen pictures of him and his first day training, and that was today, Wednesday, September 8th. So, yeah, I hope you all enjoy that. That was a lot of fun, actually. You're going to like this guy, Sam Cole. He's a pretty interesting cat. He's got a little bit of a surprise for you, too, inside of there. So, yeah, enjoy that interview with Sam. And then we'll go straight to Frenemies with Daniel Donato Grossi. And I'll be back to close out the show. Hope you guys enjoy. Io non penso che a te sola, non pensiero mi consola, che tu pensi solamente a me. Ah, più belle tutte belle, non è mai più belle te. Okay, tifosi, our very first player profile focuses on the newest member of Napoli on loan with obligation to buy from Fulham, Franck-André Zambo-Anguissa. For this occasion, we've decided, since we don't know too much about the Cameroonian international, we'd bring in a very special guest. He is a football analyst for Stats Perform and a writer for Fulham Focus. Please welcome Sam Cole. Sam, very pleased to have you on our show.
I'm very happy to be here. I'm glad I can be of help.
Absolutely, yeah. And Sam, I'd like to first congratulate you and Fulham fans all over the world on a pretty fine start to the championship, as you sit atop the league with 13 points after five matches. Five league games played, still unbeaten. Five wins in a row, including the cup, 15 scored, three against, three consecutive clean sheets, eight different goal scorers. Looks like things are going well over at Craven Cottage under the tutelage of Marco Silva.
Yes, certainly. We've started the season really well. We look firm favourites to win the league, never mind to get promoted. And yeah, I'm very excited to see how the season goes. We've got a very good squad, even though we've lost a player like Anguissa. But, yeah, very, very happy with how the season started.
Yeah, you mentioned that, but I've also noticed while one of your players comes to Napoli, you've also gained a former Napoli player and the older brother of Trevo at Chelsea, Nate Chalaba, who spent a season on loan with us 2015-16 under Maurizio Sarri. So that's a pretty interesting signing there. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing. The rumours say we've got him on a free transfer, which I think makes it even better. He's a player that offers a lot defensively as well, being decent on the ball. He's another option in the centre of the park where we've already got some fantastic players. We've got Seri, who's we bought for a lot of money. Never really looked that great, but this season he looks to come into his own. Josh Onoma looks great. Harrison Reed as well. We've got a lot of options there, and he can only make that midfield a lot stronger.
There you go. So the topic at hand is Zambo. Five man of the match performances at a relegated 5-win club last season. So that's impressive. Somewhere around the top three in the EPL in pass percentage and top five in dribbling, but also great defensively. He joins us at Napoli, who needed depth at the midfield position. We have some injuries, and we lost a defensive midfielder in Deme, who's injured, and in Bakayoko, who went back to Milan. So we were lacking in that department, had some of the kids come up. But in the elegant words of our resident Dottore di Napoli, his name is Dr. Henry Bell, he says that Napoli under Luciano Spalletti, an Englishman like yourself, lives in Scotland now, has an affinity for Fulham, as most Neapolitans do, as you guys took out Juventus a few seasons back. Well, probably about a decade back, which was really special to us. We're not fans of Juventus at all. So thank you for that years and years ago. But anyway, so Napoli under Spalletti, he says, Henry Bell says that we lacked a true ball winner a la Daniele De Rossi under Spalletti at his days with Roma. We can look at stats and we can look at YouTube videos all day, Sam. But you watched him each and every week as a Fulham fan. So tell us, what kind of player have we gained in Anguissa, and how important of a player could he be with Napoli?
So Anguissa is a player that I have a lot of affection for. I think it's fair to say his time at Fulham divided opinion. A lot of people said he was a luxury player. Some people say he didn't do all he could have done. However, I am a massive fan of him. He is not like any defensive midfielder in the world, in my opinion, because he's excellent defensively, you know, statistically and in-game, like his tackles and interceptions. He does all that. He pressures well. Defensively, he's excellent. But he's also, on the ball, fantastic. His dribbling is nothing I've ever seen.
You light up when you say that, Sam. It excites me.
Honestly, it's amazing just seeing. So he's one of those players where he'll win the ball back, and then it's not as if he'll immediately pass it off. He'll get the ball back, beat about four players, and then he'll pass it, probably play a simple pass after that. However, yeah, he's very unique. His ball retention is excellent. His defensive ability is excellent. And I think he'll be very great for Napoli because, as you said, you've lost Diogo Deme, who I watched a lot of Leipzig. I'm a big fan of German football.
Oh, there you go. All right. Yeah.
And I did really like the player. I don't think he's necessarily done as well for Napoli. I don't think he's really done what he did at Leipzig, but I'm a big fan of him. I think Anguissa is a big upgrade on him. At the moment, I've seen you're playing Elmas, Lobotka, and Ruiz in midfield. He's not like any of those players, you know. Mm-hmm. He's a very powerful, physical player. And, as I said, his tackles, he excels, you know. Averaged 3.03 tackles per 90 last season. Averaged 1.96 interceptions per 90 last season. But then a stat which is completely different to a defensive midfielder, he averaged 3 dribbles a game per 90 last season. And he's a fantastic, he's a Rolls Royce of a midfielder. Mm. Big, strong, excellent on the ball, and excellent defensively.
This is very exciting. I got to say, Sam, I'm very excited about it. I mean, again, doing great in the league. So far, top of the league, you know, but, how has this loss impacted Fulham? How has the loss of Zambo, Anguissa,
impacted him. I mean, your club. I mean, you know, hopefully you get back to the Premier League. Wouldn't you wish you had him again, right? What's the mood like? I mean, you said that you said in the beginning that the midfield is you know, is pretty well covered at this point. But does this still impact the club?
To be honest, I don't see it having a massive impact necessarily this season. We've got, as I said, a lot of options in the midfield. Seri, Reed, Chalobah. We've got some great options in the midfield. And so this season, I don't think it will impact us. I think we still have a strong enough squad to win the league. Maybe in the Premier League he will, though, because last season he was definitely one of our standout players. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was superb in that midfield. He got criticised by our manager, and we criticised by fans because he didn't necessarily offer enough going forward in terms of goals or assists. But that was just because of the situation we were in, that our strikers weren't scoring, right. Our wingers weren't scoring, and our creative midfielders weren't like creating anything. So there was so much pressure on him to get assists and goals, and he's a defensive midfielder.
Right.
He's one of those players who will get the ball, drive it up the pitch and lay it off to a more creative midfielder who'll do the creating. So he did get criticised, which I thought was personally unfair, but I think that it's a shame that we won't have a player like that in the Prem. Maybe that's if we get promoted. I know it's only a loan. You've got an option to buy around the 17, 18 million mark, mm-hmm. which, to be honest, I think is a bit of a steal.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Exactly. I think that would be a great deal for you. But we've also signed him onto a new contract. If you don't take that up, to make sure that we keep his value quite high, because he's entering the last year of his contract. But yeah, I think it won't be too much of a loss this season, as we've got quality. We've got championship quality in our team at the moment. But it could potentially long term be a loss.
Well, you know, say you do get promoted to the Premier League, which I think is fair to say, you know, five matches in looks good. I mean, you don't want to look too far ahead, but you do, you know, let's say you do, and Napoli, and he turns out to be a great asset for Napoli. That's 17 or 18 million, you know, pounds coming into the Premier League. So it'll help, you know, it'll help the timing as well, you know, because right now the Napoli spent 400,000 for the loan, and then the rest of the money will come when you come into the Premier League. So that's got to be a plus for you guys, no?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a plus, the money that we'll get if you do offer that, and that'll be great, because we're in a bit of financial fair play trouble at the moment in terms of we spent a lot of money to go up, and we've come straight back down, and the ingoings and outgoings of that don't do with our director of football, Tony Khan. We've had to structure a few deals this season that have been where we've paid a little bit now, but we've paid a lot of it in the future because of the financial fair play. So I definitely think that around 18 million, 17 million coming into the club is a positive. He's still, I think, a loss. I think we paid rumoured around 30 million mark for him. So it'd still be a loss. However, we'd be recuperating over half of that. And I think we'd take that.
And we're talking Tony Khan, the owner of AEW and the Jacksonville Jaguars, aren't we?
Yeah, we are indeed. He's a man that splits opinion.
Yes. Big wrestling fan here. So I know all about it. Okay, so moving on to, Italy's a very different league. Serie A is a very different league than the Premier League. It's a different place, you know, Italy. And Serie A has changed a lot since, I was a kid, since, you know, your parents were, you know, younger. It used to be a very defensive league. Now it's very, very dynamic in the offense. His wishes to play top flight football influenced his decision to come to Napoli. So he's coming in to a new place. You know, I know he played in Spain, so he's got various cultures under his belt. He's Cameroonian, you know, but he'll be joined by fellow African superstars in Senegal's Kalidou Koulibaly, Nigeria's Victor Osimhen, and Algerians Adamounas and Fawzi Goulam. Napoli's a very welcoming city, where the players and the staff and the fans actually can help him get acclimated to the culture and to the city and, you know, to the way of life in Naples. But how do you think he'll adjust with a new culture? Do you think that he can embrace, you know, a new place? You think he's like when he came into Fulham from, I believe, Villarreal, right? Did it take a long time for him to get acclimated to the new club, the new league, the new style of play, the new surroundings? How do you think he'll fare in that?
So, yeah, first of all, he came in from Marseille. We brought him from Marseille. Okay. He then went on loan to Villarreal when we got relegated to the Championship, I think, 2 years ago. But I think he would adjust very well. His physical presence will do well in the league. I know it's definitely transitioned, as you said, from very defensive. I still think there's a few clubs that adopt that mentality.
Sure. You've
got clubs like Atalanta who are just basically just gung-ho, all-out attack, very exciting football. I mean, Napoli yourselves have some great players in Insigne, Lorenzo, just some fantastic Osimhen, very dynamic. It's a lot of exciting players. But yeah, I think he'll cope well. He has that. He has the build for it. He's played in the French League. He's played in La Liga. He's played in the Premier League. So, and he's played well in all those leagues. Mm-hmm. So he's proved that he can adjust between each league. And I just think his play style, I think it will suit your suit the league down to the ground. I also think you playing a 4-3-3 will suit him. Him being alongside two other midfielders, so there's not a big burden of him to do a lot of creating, because you have Ruiz for that, you have Elmas for that, you know, you have a Zielinski for that. You have a lot of players that do that. So I think he will suit Serie A completely, and I really hope he does well there. Part of me doesn't want him to, so you decide not to pay the money and he comes back to Fulham. But at the end of the day, he's a fantastic footballer. I have nothing but respect for him. So yeah, I do hope he hits the ground running, and I personally think he'll suit the Serie A very well.
I got to tell you, I'm very impressed by your Napoli knowledge, Sam. That's some good stuff there. I really enjoy it. What are some of your favorite moments? You have any standout Anguissa moments that you can think of, one in particular?
So probably my favorite moment was last season, because when he first came into Fulham from Marseille, in the season we got relegated, he had lots of injury problems. He only really got a run of games towards the end of the season when we were already relegated under Parker, where we actually started winning games when he came into the side, which I don't think was a coincidence. But yeah, my favourite memory of him was from last season, and it was in a 1-0 home win against Sheffield United. I mean, doesn't sound very exciting from the off, but he was absolutely superb. Mm-hmm. So bearing in mind that Anguissa is a defensive midfielder, first of all, he kept a clean sheet, which is great. You know, helped shielded the defence. Defensively was great. However, on the ball, I don't think I've said anything like it. He completed 12 take-ons, which at the time last season was more than any other Premier League player did in a match. So no player in the league last season completed more take-ons in a match than Anguissa. He was absolutely everywhere. He tore the Sheffield United midfield apart. He, as I said, his defending was excellent, but his retention of the ball is just superb. And he's one of those players you watch and you are like, wow. Like, he'll come into Napoli and you'll be like, this is amazing. We want to keep him. But other than that, he had matches against Leicester City and Man City where he had really good games. Admittedly, Man City just have an unbelievable midfield. However, he competed really well, winning the ball back. There was a moment in the game where he got the ball and he was in a really tight space where he was getting pressed by three midfielders, and he managed to keep the ball, get past them and start an attack. He's one of those players that, despite being a massive lad, has unbelievably quick feet and can move the ball really well in small spaces. So they're some of my favourite memories of him. And yeah, the Sheffield United one, though, that was just unbelievable.
That's awesome to hear. That's awesome. And it's good to hear, too, that he had a good game against Leicester City. Napoli played Leicester City in the Europa League this year. Actually, game one, match day one, is in Leicester City. Coming up soon, a couple weeks. So, you know, hopefully he can get himself acclimated soon enough to get on the pitch for that. We're very excited to see this player play. As I said earlier, you know, there's nobody better to talk to than someone who watches him in and out every single week. So I hope your information about Anguissa has helped listeners of Far From Vesuvius and has helped Napoli fans all over to really understand exactly what kind of player that we've signed. Sam, as I said earlier, I'm really impressed with your Napoli knowledge, man. So tell me how you know so much about Napoli, or like, do you follow Italian football at all? Do you have sort of an affinity for it?
So yeah, I follow a lot of teams, different leagues, but yeah, I do like the Serie A a lot, but the team I follow in Italian football is Spal. It's quite
Spal.
Random. Yeah, it is very random, out of the blue. I started an affinity with them, I think, because I watched a YouTuber's Football Manager series with them.
Okay.
And it's really random, and I've had an affinity towards them and followed them ever since. It's really random, but yeah, Napoli, of course, have two former Spal players in Alex Meret, the goalkeeper, and Andrea Petagna, who, of course, scored the winning goal in your last game. We miss him a lot. We really do. But yeah, I do follow Spal.
That's amazing. I love to hear that. That's awesome. I want to thank you again, Sam, for joining us today. Why don't you go ahead and plug yourself and let us all know where we can find all your work?
Sure. So I'm a football analyst for Stats Perform, but you won't be able to see much of me there. You'll see me from Fulham Focus, where I do match previews. I don't go on the podcast much, but I do lots of written stuff for that. So I'd like to plug Fulham Focus. Make sure you check them out. Where you get anything to do with Fulham, just come there. And yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Excellent. So he's at Sam Cole 2468 on Twitter, at Stats Perform on Twitter as well, and at Fulham _Focus. Sam, thank you again. It was a pleasure having you on with us. Good luck to Fulham on the rest of the way, on your way back to the Premier League and in the cup competitions as well. Hopefully you can make a nice run there too. Thank you again very much. Appreciate it.
No worries. Good luck to Napoli as they hopefully get Champions League and do well in the Europa League.
Thank you so much. We'll be paying attention to Fulham. Maybe we'll have you back on. We'll do like a mid-season Anguissa kind of roundup. Why don't we do that?
It would be my pleasure. If you ever need anything Fulham-related, I'm here.
Love to hear it. Thank you again very much, Sam Cole. All right, you guys, Tifosi, I have a very special guest in here today with me for this week's edition of Frenemies. Yes, we are playing the enemies this week, round three, but I was able to find a great person in my Juventino today. He's the co-host of Stereo Serie A, and he's one of my favorite Juventini on the planet. Yes. They exist. I've never gotten to speak to him in person. We tweet a lot with each other. Daniel Donato Grassi. Donato G. In the house, my man. This is your first cap on the Far From Vesuvius with us here. But we haven't heard from you in a while and the crew. Welcome. Tell us how you've been doing, what you've been up to, and what's going on, man. How are you?
Thank you for the invite. I've been waiting for this for a long time. I really appreciate it. It's not often you hear Brand and Juventus in the same sentence from Monopoly fans. So I appreciate that. It made me smile, a little chuckle. It's always nice to hear from you. You and Kubani are my favorite Napoli fans. That's without a doubt. I appreciate the content that you guys put out. I especially appreciate the fact that you guys tell it how it is. You know, if something goes in your favor, you're not afraid to say that, you know, it was a soft call or, you know, we got lucky on that one. You just tell it how it is, and you don't often find fans and people like that on social media, especially Twitter. So I really, really appreciate that. Yeah, the boys were, you know, we're looking forward to making a small comeback this year, hopefully. You know, life happens. I have a little guy now. He's 9 months old. Producer Boz had a little guy too. So I want to shout out congratulations to him. Nice. We're hoping to get the boys back together. And obviously, you know, COVID kind of put a damper on some of our plans, but we have some things working in the background. So hopefully they can materialize, and we're looking forward to getting back out there.
Well, I'll tell you what, us at Far From Vesuvius, we know exactly what it is to go through, you know, just life in general. Forget about COVID, you know, there's real life going on around us too, you know, work, jobs, family lives, who's getting married, who's having kids, who's, you know, it's a thing, man. And then, like you said, COVID, you know, who's changing jobs, you know, who's moving barbershops. it's crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
Who's writing books, you know, who's stuck in Europe. It's a lot. And also who's losing jobs too. So we get it 100%. We've suffered the effects of COVID too. So, you know, I'm happy to bring you back to the airwaves today. Like I said, there's nobody else that I could think of, you know, than to have you on for this special edition. I mean, I've had Juventini on before on various things, Raf and Raf Rant, you know, the podcast as well. But this for me is special because I'm doing this project to connect with fans of our opposing teams. I plan on doing all people from all teams. And the one person I thought of was you, because we've never actually had this, you know, face-to-face, voice-to-voice conversation. It's always just kind of complimenting each other on Twitter. So, so I'm glad that you're here. So now let's get to business. On your Twitter Twitter handle, it says you're a property of Juventus and Manchester United. Now, I don't know if you've updated your Twitter in a little while.
No,
but
I have not. I have not updated in a very, very long time.
How that came to be, because from years of me listening to you on Stereo Serie, I know your family's from Frosinone, right? So talk to us and how you became a Juve fan. Where does Manchester United fit into this? I know it has nothing to do with Ronaldo going there this summer. I know that because that's just ridiculous. Please tell me that that's not what it is. Please. I need to know
absolutely
that.
No, it has absolutely nothing to do with it. I'm going to start off with, it has nothing to do with Ronaldo going there. I could guess where he went, ended up, especially the way he I'm still a little bit sour about that. We'll probably get into that a little
bit. We're definitely going to get into it because
yeah, 100%. So where do we start? I've been a Juve fan since I was 4 years old. So since 1991, 1992-ish, I guess, right? My favorite player ever was and is Roberto Baggio, and he played for Juve, and I kind of gravitated towards that. And then I fell in love with Edgar Davids. He kept my love for Juve and everybody going. Obviously, Del Piero. And then, you know, later on, there was players like Buffon and Trezeguet and Nedved, obviously. But I really, really liked Edgar Davids. He was one of my dad's favorite players as well. My dad's a Juventino. But I didn't know he was a Juventino until later on. I guess let me pick whoever I wanted to support. And then I kind of figured out that he was a Juventino and his favorite player was Platini. And he was also attached, I guess, to Juve because of the 1982 team and a lot of the players being from Juventus. And he was at a certain age where he just started following soccer or football. right? So he gravitated towards Juve as well, and I kind of gravitated towards them because of Baggio, and then because he had got sold. Like, I obviously stayed on as a Juve fan, and I've been a Juve fan for 30 years now. Big reason why, I guess, is because they've always had a large contingent of part of the national team, and I've always respected that, and I've always liked the fact that Juve so much now, but before we always had a lot of Italian players, and I always appreciated that. But mainly the reason why I liked Juve when I was a little kid was because of Baggio, and it's up with it, right? The Manchester United part is I had people who lived on my street, they were from England and they moved to Canada, to Toronto, and they were hardcore Manchester United fans. And they had a family member who had a trial at Manchester United. And I was friends with one of the kids. We were kind of similar age. And I kind of started moving on, not just with Serie A, but with other leagues. Mm-hmm. And I kind of gravitated towards Manchester United. It wasn't because, I guess, you know, they were winning. It obviously helped that they were winning. And then obviously, you know, the pop stars like David Beckham and stuff like that, I kind of gravitated towards him and, you know, some of the other players. One of my favorite players ever, I know, his off-the-field antics. I don't want to get into that, but I've always loved Ryan Giggs. I've always appreciated his talent, his longevity. I appreciate the one club man as well. And he's definitely one of them, along with Paul Scholes. So that's how I kind of got towards Manchester United. Not because, you know, I tried to cheer for all the teams that won. It was more of through a family friend, and then one thing led to another, and obviously winning helped, right? But I mean, when you think of somebody who likes Juve and likes Manchester United, you're kind of like, well, this guy is just a glory hunter. But there's reasons behind the madness. There's reasons behind why I chose both teams and why I supported both teams. And when I started cheering for Juve, we definitely weren't the best team. The standard barrier was Milan, right? With Maldini, right, and Van Basten and Rijkaard and Baresi, mm-hmm, and all them. So, I mean, if I wanted to cheer for the team that was on top, I would have definitely cheered for Milan, and whom I don't know my uncle liked, but I went a different path.
Yeah, the Milan team from 91, 92, you know, that was the tail end of the Maradona era. And my quote-unquote Juventus, well, because I'm just a little bit older than you, man, was Milan. And because my first memory of Maradona was around 88, you know, like mid-88, when Napoli lost the Scudetto at the San Paolo. Well, you know, they didn't officially lose it, but they gave the lead to Milan at the San Paolo.
Yeah.
In the 87-88 season. So that was sort of my first couple of memories of Maradona. You know, obviously I knew who he was. I knew they won a Scudetto, but I wasn't really like invested until 1988, where that happened. And then next thing you know, Milan's winning, you know, European Cups, and, you know, they won that Serie A. For me, my Anti Napoli was Milan and not Juventus. So it's Juve was there, and I knew it was an important match, but it was for me Milan. So you know, you're right. You just gravitate towards players, you gravitate towards, you know, certain events, and then it just kind of sticks with you. So I was lucky enough to be, you know, my parents, my dad, born and raised in Napoli, and able to follow Serie A and follow Napoli as a kid. You know, a lot of people from not Turin and not Milan follow Juve, Inter, Milan because of how good they were when they're kids, and they just kind of like gravitate towards those teams. And I was lucky enough to be in that tail end of that, like right in the middle of that Maradona, you know, run where they won the UEFA Cup, they won another Scudetto, you know. And it just stuck with me, too. So I get it, man. Like, because it's easy. Like you said, I could have gone to, and I did to a degree. Donato, I cheered on Italian teams in Europe. I was a big Juve guy, Milan guy, yeah. Inter guy in Europe. And I watched Serie A without Napoli in it. And I always picked a team every season. And every season I decided to pick a different team to win, you know, and cheer for. Which was cool to me because, like you said, the players are on the national team. You like to follow them. You want to see them win. You want to see them do good. You want to see them do good against Real Madrid. I'll never forget. People are going to hate me for this, man. Please don't. But I'll never forget. Like going so hard for Juve against Real Madrid in 2003 before the Champions League final with Milan, right? And just being so happy that Buffon saved the penalty, that Nedved scored on Casillas, and the mighty Real Madrid fell, and you know. And here are, you know, Del Piero and you know, I wasn't a big Trezeguet guy because of France, but you know what I'm saying, man? Like
yeah, for sure.
That with Napoli in the doldrums, bro, I had to be an Italy guy, but I always kept in the back of my mind, my heart is Napoli and they need to get back. So, you know, props to you for sticking with Juve when you could have been a Milanista like your rest of your family. And I really think it's cool. I respect that you also follow Frosinone, because I know that too. You follow Frosinone.
Right? I do.
So you stick to your roots as well. It's really cool, man. It's really cool. So now gonna get to the next topic at hand, man. You said, as I said in the intro, you're one of, if not my favorite Juventino, and that's because you call it like you see it, right? And it's the reason you like me, because I call it like I see it. Lots of people don't.
100%.
Lots of fans of teams only see their team being hard done by or screwed or complain about refs against them, and you keep it very truthful. So let's keep it real, dude. Let's keep it real, all right? Because we have to bring it up. Ronaldo at Juventus.
Mm-hmm.
Six. Now, before I even ask this question, I know that you were not. I'm sure you were excited to a degree, but I also remember, if I'm correct, that you did see a downside to this signing when he was brought in.
I did.
Okay, because I remember that.
Correct. You were 100% correct. I was happy. But I had my reservations. 100%.
Yeah. So was he a success or was he a fail, Juventus, man?
It's hard to say that somebody who, I guess, is the fastest player in our club's history to get over 100 goals. I think he had 100 and whatever it is, 1-2 goals in 130 games or so. I don't have the numbers up
there. It's right around that stat. Yeah.
It's around that. And obviously we won 5 trophies with him. So if you say somebody is a failure after winning that many trophies, you kind of sound like you're spoiled, right? You're a spoiled brat, because a lot of people would kill to have their team win the Scudetto or Coppa Italia or Super Cup or, you know, play in Europe. So I don't want to sound like a spoiled brat either, right?
No, but I don't think you would had you... I'm sure you're going to another side here, but... To measure success for Juventus, like, I mean, if Ronaldo came in to Napoli and won 2 Scudetto, a Supercoppa and a Coppa Italia,
major success in my opinion.
I'm taking it to the moon.
100%. Yeah, 100%. But
go ahead.
Not what Juve was.
No.
He was so. I don't think Ronaldo individually was a failure, but the Ronaldo project was a failure because we didn't win what we brought him in to win, which was the Champions League or in Europe in general, right? So, like, people will say that, like, I'm not trying to knock him, or, and I'm not trying to knock Juve for going for broke because I appreciated the fact that we weren't conservative for once and always thinking about the future. And we went for it because we were close twice. Right? So, okay, we're missing that one thing to bring us over the hump, okay, to get us over the final stage, right? So obviously, if you're bringing in somebody for 100 million euros, the guy who has the most Champions League goals, who won the Champions League 5 times, you're making a statement to everyone, to not only to the rest of the league, but obviously to your fans, that we're going for it. I appreciated that. And I'm in hindsight, like, you know, if you have a chance to sign Ronaldo or Messi, you're going to do it. You're going to do that every single time because you have two of arguably the greatest players ever, right? Mm-hmm. Wherever you rank them, right? Some people rank them as the two best. Some people rank them top five, top 10. That's up for debate. That's not the person who holds the cards that determines who's the greatest player ever. But the Ronaldo project failed because of the fact that we didn't win in Europe. And at the same time, you can say that Ronaldo is a victim of his greatness, because somebody who comes in and is able to maintain the team's dominance and win 5 trophies, again, it's difficult to say that that's a failure, but because of how great he is, he's going to be a victim of his own success and greatness because he didn't deliver the ultimate prize, which would be the Champions League. Now, I don't want to say that all the blame is on him, because it's obviously a team sport, right? And it takes 11 players, if not more, because, you know, injuries happen and things like that and suspensions. Mm-hmm. And so you obviously need a big roster and players that are capable and have a certain class. But, you know, he also scored all of our knockout goals before last season. He was the only one that scored in the round of 16 and the mm-hmm. quarterfinals against Ajax, right? So he delivered, whereas other players didn't. But then last year, other players were delivering in the knockout stages and he didn't. So it seemed like we never clicked at the same time. So the Ronaldo project, to me, is a failure because we didn't win the Champions League. We wasted over $200 million or close to $250 million in total, right? Because it was $100 million plus he made $50 million a season after taxes, whenever it was like $31, $32 million. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. And I'm not saying that Juve doesn't have money, but when our highest earner before was, you know, $7, $8 million, which is still a lot, but when you're making $32 million after taxes, that's a lot more, right?
Like, mm-hmm. And it's more expensive for the club. A lot
more players if you broke in. Yeah. Like, Juve had to get rid of Spinazzola. They had to get rid of Moise Keane. They had to get rid of Emre Can. They had to get rid of a lot of players because they needed to balance. Now, that also falls on to some of the other players that we signed who are god-awful, like Ramsey, whose salary is through the roof, but he plays once or twice a year. But obviously, Ronaldo's contract had a huge part in it because it affected the rest of the roster. So overall, I would have to say that Ronaldo himself wasn't a failure, but the Ronaldo project was a failure because we never made it past the quarterfinals. We had more success without him. And mm-hmm. we also lost our domestic dominance with him, right? So I mean, all good things come to an end. But we did, you know, we won 2 trophies last year, but we also lost the Scudetto, which is bigger than the 2 that we won. And we were humiliated by Porto. Porto was probably the worst side out of the other 2 that we got eliminated mm-hmm. by.
Yep. So it's fair to say Juventus failed Ronaldo, maybe? Like, who failed who?
I think it's mm-hmm. a little bit of both. Because mm-hmm. Juve bit off more than they could chew by signing Ronaldo. Because if you had to factor in, okay, getting rid of Higuain, which turned into a disaster because he didn't want to leave. And then when he did leave, it became a mess. Mm-hmm. Juve weren't able to offload other players that would help with, you know, salaries and stuff like that. And then obviously COVID didn't help either, right? The situation, because they lost a lot of match day revenue and you know, things like that. So I think also the timing wasn't right. I mean, it was a little bit off. If you put Ronaldo on that 2015 Juve team or 2017 Juve team, I think they win the treble both years. But obviously that's, say, you could say that about almost every great player, right? If you plop them into the team that comes up a little bit short, they're obviously going to be a lot better in quality. But, you know, timing was off. I think Juve's management also failed Ronaldo because they didn't calculate it the way they should have. If they knew that they had to get rid of players like Spinazzola and Keane and other players like that, and also not being able to sign certain players to make the team better, then, you know, you don't really get rid of Ronaldo when you're trying to rebuild, right? Mm-hmm, or hire three different managers in 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not really why you get him. You get him as the icing on top of the cake to get you over the hump, which we thought was going to happen, but obviously didn't. And then every year, oh, we're rebuilding or we're offloading players. Like, that's not really why you have Ronaldo. You don't really buy him to be in a rebuild. So that sucked big time.
Yeah. And Juve, according to Calcio Finanza, they're reporting a loss of 190. 0.7 million euro, more than doubling their total from the previous year. And I know that COVID had a lot to do with that. I do. But it just adds to the, you know, mess, if you ask me. It adds to the mess. It's Donato, here's the thing, okay? Because a couple weeks ago with Marco in on, you know, Kubani, in on the Rough and Rough rant, we sort of stumbled upon a topic that said, would you go broke for the Scudetto now? Meaning, you know, Messi was available. Why didn't we get Ronaldo? Would we do it now, go broke for the couple of Scudettos? So, like, what I said before, Napoli bring in a Ronaldo, win two Scudetti, win the trophies that he won with Juventus. It's a success through the roof, even if it is round of 16, round of quarterfinal Champions League, because we've never gotten past a round of 16, you know? But looking at it on the flip side, he was brought into Juve to win the Champions League, right? It didn't happen. So let's say we bring Ronaldo into a squad like Napoli and none of it happens. We win another Coppa Italia. Maybe we win the Supercoppa this time. To me, that doesn't measure like a success. You know, the success is already there. Put it this way. I saw the first 5 minutes of the Netflix Juventus special. And in that special, in the first 5 minutes, Agnelli is pictured with Allegri, you know, the Allegri's final season. And Ronaldo's standing in with the team, just came in. And his exact words were, we win the treble or it's a failure. Yeah. You know?
I know the exact scene that you're talking about.
Yep. This year we win Coppa Italia, Scudetto, and Champions League. Otherwise, it's a failure. And they won a Scudetto, which, hey, Campioni d'Italia, you know? But after four straight doubles, in where prior to winning the double, right, prior to winning those four straight doubles, the domestic double was only achieved like four separate occasions, five maybe at the most, in history. You had Inter with their treble. You had Lazio with the double in 2000. Then you had Napoli, who was the last team before that to win. No, I'm sorry, Juventus in 95.
No, Juve won in 94-95, yeah.
94-95. And then before that was Napoli. So it was Juve twice, Torino once, Juve twice, Napoli once. Napoli won the third ever domestic double in 86-87 with Maradona. Then, like I said, it was Lazio. No, there was Juve again, then Lazio, then Inter for the treble, and then Juve won four straight. So that's unprecedented. unprecedented. Ronaldo comes in and they get the Scudetto, yes. But I feel like after the... That was the Ajax season, wasn't it? Or was that the... Yes, that was the Ajax. Yes.
They feel come like back after, against...
Yes.
Atletico.
Yes. Yes. Where you thought, oh, here we go, right? Ronaldo beats Atletico, boom, again. Shoo-in, I thought. It's over. And it didn't happen. To me, it just seemed like it all unraveled from there. You know what I mean? Like, it was a panic mode. What do we do? Bring in Sadi. What do we do? Bring in Pirlo. What do we do? Try now to build around him. It didn't work. Do you think that they can perform? Because now Allegri's back in, right? And he's gone. He's gone. Do you think with the signings that came in, Moise Kean's back, you got Locatelli, who I love. You got Chiesa from last season, who I love too. You still got Bernardeschi. You still got Kulusevski. You still got a squad, man. You still do. Do you think now that they're not so Ronaldo dependent, even though Ronaldo was like the reason they won those Scudettos too? In my mind, Ronaldo saved their ass how many times? You know?
Yeah. From what individual, I see. Brilliance.
Yes. Do you think now they can perform better, right? The awful start, 1 point from six, the slip against Udinese, albeit Ronaldo's match winner, if VAR wasn't around, would have counted because that was so close. But then the Empoli slip. Do you think they can do it, man? Do you think they can perform better and turn this thing around? What do you think?
I think Juve can. I think a major issue, though, is fitness, because we haven't had a full squad in years.
So this is another rebuild?
I don't think it's necessarily a rebuild. I think it's players need to finally recover and players need to finally perform. We saw how well Arthur played against Barcelona. Mm-hmm. In some of the other games, he played god awful. I think that he can be a good player. I don't see this world class midfielder that some other people see out of him.
I think he's
better than some of the other players. Mm-hmm. I liked him at first, and I thought he was going to be a class above the rest of the midfielders we had. And then I saw the giveaways and the slip-ups and things that made me shake my head. But then I'm like, you can't be as bad as Ramsey, and you can't be as bad as Bentancur has been, and you can't be as bad as some of these other players have been. So, I mean, he has to be a little bit better than them. I mean, he started at the Copa America a couple years ago for Brazil when they won. So I'm like, where's that guy? Right, and where's the guy who Barcelona had, who Messi trusted? Right, Messi always spoke highly of him. So I'm like, he doesn't talk much about, his teammates, other than like some of the big players like Xavi and Iniesta and David Villa and stuff. So I'm like, if he's actually talking about him, then he must see something. So I'm like, there has to be something there, right? So I think like some of these players need to recover, and I think people need to stop getting injured. Like now, Chiesa hasn't been ruled out for the weekend, but he's dealing with a muscle injury. So it seems like one player after another keeps getting injured. And for God's sakes, like Dybala needs to play. You need to stop getting hurt. Obviously, you can't help with COVID, right? You get COVID, right? You just hope for a speedy recovery and you hope that it's not serious. People need to be more cautious, right? Like, what they do off the field matters. And you see people having, like, stupid parties and going on these
Weston
dates.
Weston McKennie
and,
needs
you know,
to keep
whatnot.
It, keep
and honestly,
it in
you
pants,
know with McKennie,
man,
right? Yeah, like, being American, you know what's going on with McKennie right now.
Come on, man.
One thing has quality, but he's another one, right? Like, you need to be a professional. And I think a lot of these guys... Stop being professionals on Juve. They weren't held accountable for, and they did whatever they wanted. And I don't know if that came down to maybe them not respecting Sadi, before or not really respecting Pirlo last year, but I know that stuff's not going to fly, right, with Allegri.
No.
I think people need to pull up their socks and people need to realize that, yeah, Ronaldo's not here, so you don't have that you don't have that guy that's going to bail you out like he did, right? And a lot of these guys that were on the team won trophies without Ronaldo. And a lot of these guys played in Champions League finals. They played in teams that have won in South America, right? Like they have Alexandro and Danilo who won the Copa America. They have Arthur who won the Copa America. You have...
Caio George won the U17 Brazil.
Yeah, there you go, right?
World Cup with Brazil. Yeah.
There's quality. Moise Keane played for the Azzurri, right? Now they're 21 tournaments and even, you know, and then you have... They brought in Locatelli and you have Chiellini and Bonucci who just won the Euro Cup, right? So there's loads of experience. People just need to be held accountable for. People need to, you know, pull up their socks. And I think that if Juve does that, I think some players are going to have to take a step up. You know, Dybala is going to have to be the focal point now. You want all this money, so prove it, right? You need to show up in the big games like you did before. Same with, you know, guy, like I respected what Bernardeschi did in the Euro Cup. It wasn't easy to step up and take those two penalties, right? Especially not playing a lot. But if you want to stay on Juve, if you want to be this Juve quality and all those, you know, everything that's associated with that, you need to perform. You can't stumble over the ball or run out of bounds like he normally does. Like that stuff doesn't fly, right? And I was against Allegri coming in 2015. More than anybody. I went on these rants on social media and with my friends, and I was losing whatever little hair I had left because I was snapping. Okay? I did not want him to get, you know, Juve to sign him. I was jumping for joy when we have when he got hired again after Pirlo because I know his quality as a manager, and he's really going to have to step up as well. He's going to have to play players in their natural position. I know how crazy that sounds, right? Like do the simple things. Like, I don't know why he was playing in the mid against Empoli. Like, what are you doing? Let Cuadrado play further up. Let Danilo play the back. The guys play in their natural positions. Play in a 4-2-3-1 formation that suits the quality of the players that we have. And hopefully replace Ronaldo yet. Hopefully we can get somebody else in January, if not next summer. But there's a lot of guys that have to prove themselves. And it's going to be a World Cup year coming up, right? So if you, like Keane, if you want to display somebody, you need to perform. You need to score.
Yeah, Keane's got two goals today for Nazionale, you know?
Yeah, he scored two goals today, so we need more of that, right?
He comes into the camp tomorrow, I'm guessing, right? Is that true?
He does. He does. So I think playing, like, Locatelli is going to have to start. We saw his quality in the Euros. We saw his quality in the qualifiers. He's really going to have, you know, play and start and, you know, no, I'm not really a fan of Szczęsny, and he kind of screwed up again today. I think, you know, Lewandowski hit that ball cleanly. Szczęsny was in a position where he should have saved it, right? So I think he also needs to pull up his socks. And if I was Juve, I would have him on a short leash. Like, I think Perin has quality. And I think if Szczęsny doesn't improve, especially if he has a stinker on the weekend, I think it's time to put in Perin and see where he goes with it, because you can't do worse, especially after that Udinese game. Can't get much worse than that. And the one thing that, you know, sorry to go back to the first topic, but the one thing that really, really pisses me off about this Ronaldo sale is that I think it literally held back us getting Donnarumma because of that salary that he ate up, right? Like, Donnarumma sits on the bench and gets paid $10 million, $12 million, whatever it is. He could have got paid $10 million, $12 million to be our starter for the next 20 years. Yep. Right, so, you know, things didn't happen that way, but I wish we had gotten Donnarumma. I really do. I think most of the world wishes their teams got him, but he was close to coming to us. So, like, the Ronaldo departure really pisses me off because of a player like that that could have came to us and would have solved the big issue. Because I just don't think Szczęsny has the confidence of the defenders in front of him. He doesn't have confidence in himself.
But you know, if
that changes.
Yeah. If Ronaldo made his mind up earlier in the transfer market, you know, he was sold right at the end. It probably would have really done a lot better for you.
Get her a proper place. I think so too, mentally for sure. Right? Like mentally it would have been a whole lot better for us.
Right.
And like I think Ronaldo had his both feet out the door after the final game last season, and he had that Instagram post where something that stood out to me was like I've achieved everything that I wanted to achieve with the team. Basically said goodbye without saying goodbye.
Right.
And then he had another post when there was all those rumors with Real Madrid and whatnot a couple of weeks ago before he left. But what stood out to me in that stupid post was that he never once mentioned Juve's name, the club he played for. And he never once mentioned that he was staying. He went on a rant about a whole lot of nothing, and he danced around the response, and he just kept saying that it was disrespectful to being linked with Real Madrid again. And I guess he was disrespected that Ancelotti didn't publicly say that they should have signed them again. I don't know. I mean, I think Ronaldo is arguably the greatest player ever, but he's the most like insecure player ever. I don't understand. Like, you have so much talent and you're that insecure about, you know, where your place is in history. If somebody says something wrong, will you like kind of shout and pout? Like, I don't get it. But
well, it's no secret that I'm not the biggest Ronaldo fan at all. And you know, I made the remark, don't let the door hit you in the abs on the way out.
I was laughing at myself. I enjoyed that, and I agree with you. I honestly don't care who plays for Juve, and if you don't, you can leave. And that goes for everybody that played for us at any time in our history. You know, Del Piero is one of my favorite players ever. Like, I love the guy, but if he publicly said, I want to leave, look, it's the badge that comes first before anybody else.
Right.
Adjo's my favorite player ever. My biased opinion says he's the greatest player ever. I obviously maybe not, right? But to me, right, like, you know, he's my childhood hero. To me, he's the top, but he left. It is what it is. Juve didn't fold. We didn't dissolve, right? Players go,
right.
The badge stays.
Right.
The name at the back doesn't mean anything. It's the name in the
Solo front. La Maglia, brother. Solo La Maglia.
Yeah, it's the colors. Frickin'. It's the badge. It's the institution that is whatever your team is.
That's not right? Creed, like, man. That's
so,
it.
Like, Maradona is probably the greatest forever. You know, I know Napoli went through some hard times, you know, bankruptcy and thing, but I'm pretty sure the team, like, Juve is playing them in a couple of days, right? They've won trophies since then. So if you can lose, you know, either the greatest or arguably the greatest forever, and, you know, you're still fine. I think anybody can leave any other team, right? Like, sure. Just the way it goes. It's whoever's is the crest in the front is worth a hell of a lot more than the name on the back.
That's true, my friend. That's true. No truer words have been spoken. So, all right. Napoli, this weekend at the Maradona, we've had more controversy. Man, can we ever get through? Can we ever get through one of these fixtures without controversy and stress and headache? The first it was COVID and the courts, and you know, before that, yes. It's all these games are high risk for the, you know, Ospiti fans of the, you know away fans, traveling fans, whatever. Just today, 3 days before the match, the tickets went on sale at the Maradona for the general public. Before, you had to have a membership or, you know, the fan you know, fidelity card or whatever, and to be from Campania and this and that. But now the whole stadium is open, even the Settori Ospiti. But, you know, COVID, the trial, the season-long battle with that. Then now also Osimhen with the red card. Is he going to miss? Is he going to play? Yesterday they decided he's going to play. Its ban is lifted. Now they're going to play. But you're all – and then to top it all off – You got South American players coming back one day before the match after playing in, because they're still on duty tomorrow, Thursday, 7 o'clock at night Eastern time. They'll be done by 9. Then they got to get showered, changed, and take a plane back to Europe to their clubs and this and that. Can't say bye to their families, whatever. So they got to get back to Europe. You know, for Napoli, it's Ospina. Ospina in Colombia, it's a goalkeeper position. It's not an outfield position. It's probably a little easier to play 2 days later, but it's still pretty difficult. Man. You got to travel, you got to get back, you got to, you know, settle back in, this and that after being gone. You know, personal life happens too, you know. But for Juventus, you got Dybala, you got Bentancur, you got Cuadrado, you got, oh my gosh, Artur, you got Danilo, you got Alexandro. These are big players for Juventus, man. Like, now they got to go back and play Napoli. Napoli, nonetheless. Not Spezia, you know, not Salernitana. No. Napoli at the Maradona. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be real tough. So I kind of want your feelings on that. I kind of want you. What do you think we're going to look like? You know, you guys are going to look like. What do you think? Maybe if you have a prediction for the game. But I also want kind of your feelings on how you're going to fare. Are you going to finish in the Champions League spots this season? What do you think, man?
For the game on the weekend, from what I've heard, most, if not all, of those players coming from South America are not going to be in Juve's starting lineup. I was hearing potentially Juve playing with three at the back, with Chiellini, Bonucci, and De Ligt. And then
both Chiellini and Bellucci,
the last I heard, was today. Players like Bernard. Yes, he didn't play today, which is obviously good for, I guess, all parties, because Italy didn't need them, and Juve desperately needs them on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Played today.
Chiesa didn't play either.
Chiesa didn't play. He has a muscle issue. He hasn't been ruled out. If Juve is without Dybala and Chiesa, I think it's lights out. I honestly don't think that we will have enough quality, especially when you're taking away our starting left and right back. And then Cuadrado always seems to have a good game against Napoli. And I think he's better playing in a more advanced role, which he probably would have played. So I don't have a lot of faith this weekend, because we're playing away from home. It's always difficult in Napoli. We're potentially going to be without 4 or 5 starters. A lot of the other starters played international games. Rabiot will probably play. And I think Ramsey's still injured, so we're missing a lot of our midfielders. McKinney, God knows what's going to happen to him. I don't know if he's going to be frozen out of the team, if he has to have more COVID tests, or what Allegri wants to do with him. My fear is that Juve is going to have to play with Bernardeschi as a wingback, or maybe in the midfield as a central midfielder. Like, I don't know who's going to be available. I would love for, obviously, Danilo and even Alexandro and Dybala and everybody to play. I just don't know if it's possible right now. And I used to be a big Morata fan, because he would always come up in the big games.
He would.
Scored in the Champions League finals and, you know, semifinals and leading up to that run-in. But that was 6 years ago. So a lot of things have changed in 6 years. So I don't necessarily have a lot of faith in him. I mean, they might have to play with both him and Keane, as well as Kulusevski, I guess, which isn't the worst up top, but you're missing a lot of quality and creativity if Dybala doesn't play. And obviously, if Arthur isn't playing again, you're putting more pressure on Locatelli, and we might only end up with Locatelli and Rabiot as two starting center midfielders, because Bentancur won't be able to go. And like I said about McKinney, and I think Arthur's still injured, and so who knows? I don't have much faith, really. I think Napoli's going to be fired up for the game. San Paolo's going to be rocking, or the Maradona Stadium, the new name. I think they're going to be rocking. I think, you know, they're going to be fired up, because the first game back against Juve with all the fans there, and obviously the stuff that happened last year, you know, traveling, then being deducted the 3 points, then getting the 3 points back, there could be a lot of built up aggression and, you know, there could be a lot of hostility, and it's going to be a hostile environment, which I actually respect and love, because I think if you're an opposing team, you should feel that. The home fans should be able to spur on their players and their team, and they need to create an environment that affects the opposing team from playing, you know, free-flowing football and at their best. But Juve desperately needs points, right? Because if Juve loses, you run the risk of being 8 points off the top, and you run the risk, you know, obviously if you're in the relegation zone after 3 weeks, it's not like the biggest deal because you can get out of it.
Sure.
But then you're further away from a Champions League spot, right? It's a lot to gain 8 points, whether it's only 3 weeks in or, you know, 30 weeks in. 8 points is still 8 points. You're going to have to bank on other teams dropping points to each other and certain things happening, and then you have to bank on you not slipping up anymore, right? So I think Juve desperately needs at least a draw, right? Which, you know, I'm hoping for at least a draw, 3 points I would love, but at this point I don't have a lot of faith in the team because of the circumstances. And I don't think Juve is going to win the Scudetto this year. I know it's early, and you know, anything can happen, anything can change, but I just don't see it right now because I feel like they're kind of all over the place. I think Allegri's still trying to stamp his authority on the team, implement new strategies and his philosophy. And obviously with Ronaldo leaving and the timing of it wasn't ideal. And obviously, even though, you know, I don't think it has affected him a lot, I think more his fitness has affected him, I think the contract extension with Dybala has affected his play too, because he doesn't, like, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next year. You're going to be a free agent. Where are you leaving? You want to stay. You keep saying that you want to stay. You want to be the captain. Right. And you're given the armband, but then, you know, you slip up. And so I think a lot of things have been affecting him, and I think it just trickles down, right, throughout the rest of the team. So I don't know. I'm sweating just thinking about it. I'm just hoping for no drama. I know there will be, but I'm just hoping that it's a smooth game. You know, VAR doesn't have to come into play. If somebody scores, they score. If it's a bad tackle and they deserve a red, they get a red. But it's, you know, it's a deserved call. Right? I don't want any 50-50 calls to sway one way,
right,
you know, because of past history or, you know, favoritism, etc. Whatever was associated with, you know, the teams that are playing. I just want a fair and equal game. And hopefully, you know, I hope Juve comes up on top, obviously. And I obviously, you know, I know that you hope that Napoli comes up on top. But I think more than anything, people just want a good match and, you know, for them to represent our league, right, in a positive way. Because, you know, I don't know how you guys are doing there in this TV, right? So, you know, our league is taking a hit too, not just Juve or certain teams, right? So we got to showcase. You know, whoever is watching, we need to showcase and put on a show for them.
Absolutely. And speaking of watching, I'm hoping you guys will be able to watch this one this weekend. It's one of the five matches that Fubo decides to show up in Canada. It's a disgraceful situation.
That's another. What a disaster.
Is it one of them? I'm sure it's one of them. It can't not
be. It is one of them. I mean, there's ways of going around it, I guess.
Sure.
Sometimes the quality isn't the best, or, you know, it depends if you want to watch it with Italian commentary or English or whatever comes up, I guess. But, you know, either way, I'm going to be able to tune in this time. I wasn't able to watch the game, you know, in full against Empoli. We ended up losing, and then I had to leave in the second half against Udinese, and we lost. And I see the trend here. Okay, if I don't get to watch the whole game, we seem to be dropping points. I got to make sure. I got to tell my wife.
That whole match, right? That's it. Nothing else matters. 90
plus minutes.
Nothing else matters, dude.
Can't go anywhere else. No, nothing else. I cleared
my schedule, my friend. It's over. 12 o'clock Eastern. I'm glued to Paramount Plus, my friend. Okay, well, to kind of really quickly bounce back at what you said about your squad and the injuries, Napoli are in a pretty similar situation in the midfield where you got Zielinski out injured. Not sure if he's going to make it back for the Juve game. Hoping he does. But if he doesn't, you know, we'll have to put like maybe Elmas in the number 10, or Insigne has been playing the number 10 spot too. But also Lobotka came up with an injury with Slovakia, and I was watching that match, and of course the 22 men on the pitch, the one guy who gets hurt is the Napoli player. So it's of course I tune in to watch the Boca play because he's been playing lights out of nowhere, and he gets injured the match I watch. Sure. So now we have Frank Zombo.
See how that happens? See how
Dude, Slovakia, okay, I want to see Hamsik and I want to see Lobotka. Lobotka's been playing lights out, let's watch him. Boom, out with an injury. And it wasn't contact, man. So, you know, when he went down, it's like, oh, shit, this is serious.
Yeah, when there's no contact and you fall by yourself, it's a muscle injury, it's a ligament, it's something.
So, who knows with that? I don't even know if there's a report that came out about that. But we're looking at our new signing, Frank Zambo Anguissa, coming in from Fulham, who apparently is like this amazing defensive midfielder, but also could dribble and pass and... one of the highest rated midfielders in the Premier League last season on a team that was relegated. But just got to Naples today, you know, and it's like he's got to get integrated with the club. He's going to have to play next to Fabian. Who knows what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. So we have our issues too, you know. But like I said, thankfully Osimhen will be there to play. He's going to have to contend with Chiellini and Bonucci. Hopefully he can burn those legs out, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Donato, I'm like thrilled to have gotten a chance to speak to you. Just to hear you talking to me on my show was just like a treat, man, because I can listen to you all day. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the kind words. Yeah. This is the first time we're seeing each other.
Yeah,
I know through Skype, but face to face is the first time.
One of these days, I put on our other show. The friendship is there. It's been there for a while. And one of these days, we'll have you on our other show, the Raff and Raff Rant, which is live.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, dude. It's all good. It's all good. You're going to get killed in the chat, but don't worry about it.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I like the hostility.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Where can we find you on Twitter? And, you know, why don't you plug if you're doing anything else in the cultural community right now? Or if you guys are trying to rehash Stereo Serie A, see what you guys are doing. Like plug yourself, brother.
Yeah, so you can catch me at DonatoG87 on Twitter, same with Instagram. You know, all my opinions are mine. Sometimes they may be a little bit biased. I mean, we all have our own biases. I try to stay as fair as possible. I hate being a homer. I hate, you know, people who think whatever their team does is the greatest thing since sliced bread, because every team in every sport has their faults. And I know Juve has their faults, obviously. And they make mistakes just like everybody else makes mistakes. So I tell the people how it is. I tell you what you want, maybe what you don't want to hear, but what you need to hear. And it doesn't mean I don't love Juve or whatever other team that I support any less. It actually means I love them more because I want them to do better. And I think we can. And I just want to, you know, shout out everybody who's starting school tomorrow, because we're starting school here, right?
There you go.
All the little there kids you go, that are starting school here in Toronto and the GTA. So good luck to all the teachers and all the students and, you know, everywhere else around the world. I know it's been tough, right, with the pandemic, and, you know, we'll get through it. We'll get past this, and then hopefully everybody can celebrate and we can go back to normality. And, you know, one day we can make a trip over to the States to see you boys and, you know.
Yeah, man. That would be wonderful. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. We might be doing a couple of trips, I guess. You know, the ICC has a couple of tournaments always in the summer. I've been to them in the States. I've been to them with Cuba and a couple of the other boys. So we're hoping next summer, you know, the borders open and everything is cool, so we can make our way down there and Hopefully you guys will be there and we can meet and, you know, we can talk college like we've been doing now, right? But this time face to face.
You can count on that, my friend. You can count on that, you know. And yes, good luck to everybody in the Toronto area who is going back to school tomorrow, Thursday. Today was our kids' first day here, Wednesday. You know, they went to school decked out in Napoli like they should. You know what I mean? They were loving life. But back to normal, you know, let's get it. Let's get it back to normal.
Yeah.
All right, Donato.
Thank you, man. Thank you
very much. Good luck on good luck on Saturday, my friend.
Thank you. Same to you. I appreciate the invite. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate them all.
No problem. Anytime. You're welcome here anytime. Daniel Donato Ross. Thank you.
All right, you guys, there you have it. That was Sam Cole from Fulham Focus, followed by Daniel Donato Grossi from Stereo Serie A. And that's going to do it for another edition of Far From Vesuvius podcast. I really hope you enjoyed today's content. A lot of great insight into Anguissa and his much-anticipated debut at the Maradona. We'll see if it comes this week with all the midfield injuries that we talked about with Grossi. We'll see if it comes against Maradona. We also have to remember that we have a goalkeeper issue. Medet is out injured. Ospina will have played less than 48 hours before the match. And our third choice keeper is Marfella, who is not proven. Actually got pretty beat up against Benevento in a friendly a couple of days ago. But we'll see what happens. We did win the appeal for Victor Osimhen's red card. A two-match ban has been overturned, so that means he will be available against Juventus this weekend. Insigne has come back from international duty early to be with his father after a minor operation that his father had to undergo. Hopefully that means that he is well-rested enough to play against Juventus this weekend. And hopefully Zielinski will come back from injury as well. Hopefully Lobotka's injury isn't that serious either. No word on that as of recording. But we will be available with all of the pre-match, post-match, halftime, any kind of content you need for Napoli Juventus. Raf and Raf, Far From Vesuvius, will bring it to you. We also have a very special surprise guest for the Raf and Raf rant on Monday, the 13th. Stay tuned to both Far From Vesuvius and Raf and Raf on all social media platforms to find out who that is. And something tells me you guys all like that. But again, I'm Raf Arispo signing off for this week. Ciao tutti. Enjoy the match against Juventus this weekend. It's going to be great. Forza, Napoli sempre. Let's beat Juve, baby.